fallen god Gravital and deliver it to the landlord Cedric. Minimum conditions for completion, find and deliver the object. Reward, legendary silver armor in Cedric's possession. Attainment, you've achieved Unicum of the second rank. See the table of obtained achievements in the settings for your character. Your reward for achievement, plus 4% chance of getting unique or hidden jobs. Current chance, 10%. Cursed, I croaked dumbfoundedly, understanding what the dear Cedric had in store for me. Oh, yes, grinned the collector. The quest is not easy, but it is fair. A couple of almost unique items for one completely unique. After all, you said it yourself, Rossgard. You boasted yourself. Remember your words? If you have forgotten, let me remind you. The landlord frowned and quoted my recent words. I can get something truly unique and unrepeatable, a special item for your collection. That's it. Find me this special thing. Is our contract concluded? Yes, I managed with an effort, accepting the job. Yes. Damn my tongue. I'll be waiting for you and the accursed object. Cedric nodded stiffly and abruptly turned and walked away, speaking as he left. And before you have it, do not appear again at the gates of my estate. Until you have gotten what I want, I do not wish to see you. Until later, dear Rossgard, or should I say, goodbye. But what the hell is it? I shouted after him. What is it? Weapons? A statue? A book? What? Nobody knows, he said. No one. But this is not a problem for you, right, Rossgard? Right? And the local patron again burst into laughter. The audience is over, muttered one of the guards. I ask you to go to the gate. I'll go, I said, mechanically moving my legs. I'm going. In a minute, I was outside of the estate. I clutched my head in the dry dust of the road. I was given an impossible task. Like a fairy tale. Literally. Go somewhere, not knowing where, find something, not knowing what, but whatever it is cursed. Rossgard. Huh? I turned to face a guard indifferently. Mr. Cedric asked me to tell you. Yes? What? I inquired with a shy hope. He told me to tell you that he's a little wrong, the guard happily informed me. Someone actually does know what this thing is, and the master knows his name and where he is now. He has written it on a piece of paper and asked me to tell you. Great! Thank you, thank you! I began, and literally grabbed the piece of paper from the guard. I swallowed hard and, unfolding the paper with trembling hands, saw a couple of lines written in exquisite handwriting. God Gravital, now he is in the abyss of Tantariel. I am sure he will tell you everything he knows. Go there and pay him a visit, Rossgard. Go down to hell. After all, you can do quite a lot. Ha, ha, ha. I hate you, Cedric. I croaked quietly. I hate you. I stood for a long time before the closed gates of the estate. Almost an hour. I glared at the dust under my feet. Then I carefully put the piece of paper in my bag, took out a teleport scroll, and hissed with a breaking voice, "Karst Caves." Arriving at the breeding grounds, I came to the stone slab of the revival location, walked 50 paces to the side, and wrote a short message, sending it to several recipients. Then I waited, drawing senseless patterns in the dirt with a dry twig. I didn't have to wait long. 15 minutes later, I was approached by a few players. Doc, Baum, Kalen, Cray, Orbit. The first four I knew would come, I was sure of it. But it struck me to the core that Orbit was able to find his way to the place. "Hey, boss," barked Baum the ass, "into the caves again?"
"Kaelin and I actually just got in and weren't going to go anywhere," muttered Cray.
"Yeah," the girl said loudly. "Just got in now."
"The ambulance is prepped and prepared for travel," Doc informed me.
"Will it be interesting?" said the bald elf with hope.
"Oh, yes," I nodded, smiling widely. "It will be very interesting. I have a question for you boys and girls. A million-dollar question."
"Listening,"
Baum answered for everyone, livening up at the word million.
"What have you thought up?"
"I want to rob the house of a rich reptile," I answered honestly. "A local, rich, asshole, a complete goat. If I could just..."
"Calm down, brother, calm down," Baum raised his hands. "Who are you talking about? Whose house are you going to rob?"
"The house of the Honorable Mr. Cedric," I hissed, clenching my fists. "You know of him?"
"Cedric, the local landowner? Where there are a bunch of guards, high walls, defensive magic, and all sorts of bad things?" Doc asked in surprise.
How can I put it? Rosgard, it looks like to me that you are in a state of..."
"Stupidity," interrupted Baum. "The state of stupidity to the fifth degree, and it's incurable."
"Who's the doctor here?" Doc was offended. "Only I make the diagnosis." Baum waved him away, and putting his hand on my shoulder, said solemnly, "Rosgard, I congratulate you with all my heart. You're completely crazy."
"I told you,"
happily smiled the hairless elf.
"With him, it's interesting."
Chapter 3. The Robbery of the Century. Scarlet Hair and Flight into the Unknown.
"I told you it's impossible," said Cray for the umpteenth time, irritably scratching his eyebrow.
Thoughtfully spoke Baum, chewing a straw in melancholy and expressing the utmost calm. The calm was deceptive. One could tell by his slightly jerking leg and eyes, which were glued firmly to the tall wall securing the estate of Mr. Cedric. The view of the manor itself was pretty amazing. We were located at the top of a very high hill, overgrown with dense and incredibly green grass. There was also a short oak, under which we had settled for a picnic. From the hill to the manor was a very short distance, and we were able to see all the details with ease.
"Why are you silent?" growled the dwarf, unable to withstand it. "You see it yourselves. It is a palace, or a castle. There is no hope of success."
"We are thinking," I said, glaring at the wall of the estate, "and waiting."
"And drinking,"
Kaelin supported me cheerily, cradling a crystal wine glass in her hands. We were waiting for orbit. This was the whole story. We had arrived here together, right after my statements about the desire to rob the Honorable Mr. Cedric. It was located on a hill, and orbit had declared that we needed recorded intelligence and sent two spirits to the walls of the estate. The ghostly beings safely made it to the walls of the manor, then twisted a bit, and simply were incinerated. On top of the wall was visible for a few seconds a huge mirror-like field. A short flash, and the spirits were gone. Only a sad cloud of smoke rose to the skies. Orbit was very upset and harbored a deep resentment towards the wall. Expressing to us his nearly incoherent emotions, he begged me to give him a teleport scroll and vanished in an unknown direction, promising that he would reappear soon, and that then everything would be settled. Although we weren't just sitting around, but accomplishing some useful work. Doc, for example, was freely spread on the grass and reading a huge book with obvious displeasure, grimacing and snorting occasionally, but he persistently continued this occupation. I glanced at one of the pages and saw an image of a human body bisection. On another page it was the same for a half-orc. Overall, Doc was studying morbid anatomy, necessary for a surgeon's occupation, the better to treat, or to mutilate. Cray drove away the flies from Kaelin and poured her wine, periodically grumbling and scratching. The dwarf looked like a faithful dog looking after the hostess. The girl was enjoying the views of nature and occasionally sipping wine and drawing something in her notebook. Bomb, this individual seems as though he can never sit idle. He always needs something to do. At the beginning of the picnic, he literally scoured the hill and its surroundings, collecting all the most useful herbs and mushrooms, at the same time killing a few moles and rabbits. All the trophies he found went into his huge backpack. He began collecting acorns, and even looked thoughtfully at the oak itself, as though assessing the possible amount of wood that could be obtained from it. Overall, a very active and purposeful personality. I'm afraid that if we linger around here a bit longer, the poor old oak itself will be cut down. As for me, I was sitting on the ground and waiting for my anger to subside. Unsuccessfully, I could not get the image of Mr. Cedric out of my head. Frankly, no one had ever insulted me so much. Moreover, with such viciousness and uncompromising certainty, with blatant mockery in every word, I'm certainly not a psychologist, but Mr. Cedric certainly had an unhealthy psyche. The distinguished patron of a local land was not himself. All my thoughts were directed in one place only, how to get into the estate and how to rob everything which comes to hand, including parts of the legendary set. If we don't pull it off, at least we will annoy him.
Ross, you still haven't explained why you want to pay a visit to this man, said Baum in a deep voice, collecting acorns on all fours. To rob him, there are so many goods there that,
That's right, nodded Cray, who apparently didn't like me, apparently, I think, due to the fact that my personality interested Kaelin.
Nothing has been explained. You're leading us into the dark.
You're wrong there, or you're confusing something, I said grimly. Into the dark is when I'm either lying or really didn't say anything.
And you are saying something?
I am. I want to get to Mr. Cedric and take his loot. I was particularly interested in a few things which are necessary to me for a quest and which this local isn't giving to me, asshole. Whoever wants to come with me will not be left without goods. But there may be problems, serious problems. If we are caught red-handed, the locals will immediately dislike us.
The whole district will immediately dislike you, sounded a soft male voice, sounding from somewhere near the oak. And the next moment I was convinced that I had correctly guessed the direction. From behind the oak, a tall figure stepped out, wrapped in a dark cloak. And I immediately made a face, another Mr. Incognito. In the flickering haze over his head, there was no mention of any name, nor affiliation to any clan. And the face, not visible, you can't tell what race the player belongs to, and it's definitely a player, not a local. A spy, high-leveled and very well-equipped. Just the kind I do not like, especially in light of recent events. I'm sick of these characters making themselves out to be several superheroes at once, starting from Zorro and ending at Superman. "Who are you?" I said straightforwardly, peering askance at the newcomer and wondering how much of what he doesn't need to know he'd heard. "A consultant?" A hint of humor was heard in his voice. "For a variety of dark deeds. And here is his good friend."
The newcomer pointed to the oak, from behind which immediately emerged the broadly smiling Orbit.
"You brought someone?"
I asked the bald elf, hoping to get a more truthful answer and to calm down a bit. So, this is where Orbit had gone, to fetch the scout.
"He's smart," Orbit said, wiping his mouth with his hand.
but not interesting.
Got it, I nodded, glancing at the rest of the audience. Clever but unexciting consultant of dark deeds. And why is he here?
Allow me, gently intervened Mr. Incognito. I am a friend of Orbit, specializing in complex matters. I am a professional of sorts in these matters, and I came here in order to help him and yourself. Who I am, it doesn't matter. I help Orbit, and he wants to help you. The rest is nonsense. Our bald friend already briefly and somewhat vaguely explained the situation to me, and, standing behind the oak and listening, I found the missing details. So, do you want to hear the opinion of a skilled thief with experience?
Listening to the words of the consultant, I came to the conclusion that he really was clever, and well-mannered, well-versed in sieges, a familiar combination. If only his legs were thickly overgrown with hair, then his name might as well be Bilbo Baggins. "We are listening," I answered, and the others were silent, as though waiting for my affirmative answer. The well-mannered thief had charmed and intrigued them, and hooked me, too. What was clear? I had something to hide and something to fear. And I began to look differently at the bald, eccentric elf. How did he know such powerful personas? And more importantly, even if they were familiar, why would such high-level characters drop everything and run off at the first call of this silly baby? Although I am also not of a very high level, but know many of the Albatross clan. While I meditated, the burglar sat down in the grass, straightened his hood to hide his head, and then began to speak.
"I understand the situation. You have to get into those lovely estates, whose high and impenetrable wall shines so charmingly in the sun, and get in there unnoticed. To get in, get as much stuff as possible, and disappear just as quietly, correct?" I nodded quietly, and the consultant continued his outlandish lecture. "The problem is that this heist is not for your level, and more importantly, you don't have the money. The estate is securely protected. The main problem, you can't teleport in or out. There is a dead zone inside the estate. You can leave it only by foot, and enter it the same way. Well, or riding on a beast. In general, without magic. More so, none of you can flash your gaming nicknames. If the guards detect you, I guarantee that the entire local population will be against you, a wild fall in reputation. All it takes is for a guard to see you, and even if you manage to get away, the local land will know it for a very long time. If you get caught, get ready for a very heavy fine, or to do free work for the benefit of society. In any case, you won't be able to fix your reputation. In the worst case, you'll become outlaws. The guard will chase you no matter where you are. I am saying all this so that you can clearly imagine the consequences, especially if you're trying to raise your reputation in the future. The dirt will wash off with much, much difficulty.
Sounds bad, murmured Doc quietly.
Yeah, Cray supported him. We don't need that. Kaelin, let's get out of here. We didn't sign up for this. Give me the glass.
Huh? She uttered in surprise. I personally did sign up for this. I'm going.
The mysterious consultant listened with obvious interest to the conversation between the dwarf and the woman.
What do you mean, Kay? The dwarf was defeated. Didn't you hear what they're saying? Do you need this? Let's go, I tell you.
You're going to tell me where, how, and with whom I play? Kaelin lifted an eyebrow. Are you like this in real life? I didn't notice. Were you pretending?
Oh, drawled Baum, forgetting about acorns for the time being.
And I put the final check. They knew each other in real life. But still, they are not as close as husband and wife. Surely Cray would have obviously liked that, but his attitude of putting her on a pedestal would spoil everything. If he's doing this in virtual reality, how would it be in real life?
No, of course, the dwarf waved his hands.
Just?
Asked the girl.
I just really care about you, dully muttered Cray, whose face was so red that it equaled the color of boiled beets.
You're so cute, said the girl,
and the dwarf blushed even more, so much that it seemed that his beard would burst into flames at any moment.
But not interesting, the hairless elf added, breaking the calm.
Go polish your head, the dwarf hissed to the elf, flopping back down to the ground. Okay, we're in business. Satisfied, huh, Ross? Happy now?
Not really, I confessed, barely restraining a smile. But I'm glad that you changed your mind. The short skirmish had been like a soothing balm. My mood was slightly increased. The anger did not go away, but it became more fun or something. If not for the sudden appearance of the mysterious figure, all would be cheered.
What's the matter? Doc threw up his hands in surprise. Didn't you hear him? We can hide our nicknames and not get caught. Not every thief can do this, and I, by the way, am not a thief, but an honorable doctor.
This is a problem which can be solved, reassured the consultant. But the choice is yours. Has anyone changed their mind? I'm in, I said briefly. I will be grateful for any information, but without obligation.
I'm in, chirped Kalin.
And I, darkly muttered the dwarf.
I'm with you guys, drawled the elf.
And me too,
blurted Doc.
Me too. Maybe we can succeed in stealing just one golden candlestick. I've got no money after all.
If you get caught, those things will be taken, thoughtfully said Baum. We'll lose the bag, armor.
And this problem can also be solved, said the consultant. If you don't bring it, you don't lose it.
Well, you in?
Okay,
the ass said. If I don't lose anything, I'm always in.
Listen, why specifically are you doing this? I asked, looking at the hidden face of the consultant.
You're practically persuading us.
Because he wants me to, the mysterious personage nodded at the happily smiling orbit. That's the only reason. I do not want anything from you.
I want to, agreed the elf. They killed the twins. They are evil.
Right in the style of Death to the Bourgeoisie, which I was reading in the trailer, which drowned in the Arctic ice.
So, should I continue?
Said Orbit's friend.
Yeah.
I shook my head. Maybe they're relatives?
None of you will be able to climb over that wall, continued the consultant. Not any thief can do this. To dig underneath is far too long and cumbersome. Gates are obviously a no. Therefore, we must penetrate from above, from air, and to land on the roof of the main building.
And leave? How do we leave the manor?
Eagerly asked Doc.
But preferably without shackles or prison uniforms, and without a ceremonial guard and prison doors at the end.
Oh, I didn't see the face of the consultant, but could tell that he was obviously smiling. There is also a way. I am sure that you will like it, but more on that later, as well as other important details. I want to clarify just once. You will never get to the famous collection of rarities, never. Even I cannot get inside the vault, and I am a skilled burglar. This means that if you intend to kidnap Cedric's famous collection, just forget it, as though it were a bad dream. Triple doors of enchanted metal, complicated locks, magical security systems, guardians. In short, the vault has never been breached. Somewhere about a year ago, a skilled set of thieves bypassed the security system and the traps. They managed to open only the first two doors. They almost got to the third door and immediately died, sent back straight to the place of rebirth. You will not be able to open even the first door. Candlesticks, paintings, and wall and bedside decorations, and even the bed itself, you can take it. But Cedric's collection? Forget it, and do not think about it again.
"That's what it's called?" I asked, trying not to give away my frustration. Well, it's clear that Cedric won't keep his beloved collection in the middle of the main banquet hall. But a whole underground storage facility? What is it that he keeps there?
What is what called?
Cedric's collection, I said, trying to decide whether it was time to cancel the undertaking, already doomed to failure, for I knew that there was no point now.
Yes, that's what it's called, confirmed the consultant. Cedric's collection. Sometimes these things are put on display in Algora. From there, by the way, it's easier to steal them, easier than from their native storage, or to take them by force, if one has force enough.
Candlesticks will do, said Baum cheerfully. Golden ones, and silver as well. Copper isn't bad, too, and you can sell it all.
Maybe there's a library there, swallowed Doc, with rare books on medicine, or spell scrolls lying on the floor, or a pile of coins. Not a very big pile, of course, but not too small, so the poor doctor would have enough to buy something for himself. But not too expensive, of course.
Petty thoughts, Baum stuck out his lip disdainfully. Coins, scrolls, dirty pants, a doormat? No. We'll take all the candlesticks and sell them, and then buy all that we like.
Well, the consultant stood up and rubbed his hands together. A gang of brave burglars assembled. Excitement, fun, mutual responsibility. And now, let's start cooking.
What, right now? I blurted out.
Only in the daytime, reiterated the consultant. In the night, there are extremely vicious guards within the grounds. In the day, there's no one, at least on the upper floors, especially now.
Why?
That is why, the unnamed player pointed to the manor. Looking in that direction, we saw a large cavalry of guards surrounding a gilded carriage drawn by four bay horses. Mr. Cedric was leaving for the capital, on a hurry to the reception of the king, as always on the road surrounded by local soldiers. This perhaps in order to allow bad players to carry out an attack on an important local, so as to give a chance for bad guys to play highway robbers. Most of the guards are leaving with Mr. Cedric, the consultant confirmed my thoughts. Now is the time to pull off a small but profitable little heist.
Well, let's start, perhaps?
To begin, I ask everyone to strip.
Huh?
The entire group voiced at once.
You heard right, nodded the professional burglar. Please remove all your things and put them here, together with your own backpacks.
To our feet fell a few ordinary bags, crude and carelessly stitched, but clean and neatly folded.
Just to clarify, said the consultant, I don't need your belongings, but if you are killed, your outfits and other items will remain on your bodies. And this is not at all desirable, right? I promise to keep your things safe and return them to you at the end of your mission. If anyone doubts my honesty, you're welcome to port to your personal rooms, leave everything of value, and then return. But quickly.
I muttered, taking off my shoes. Nothing valuable here, for you anyway.
I noticed, said the consultant. So we'll go naked?
Blurted Doc in surprise.
Maybe we can leave our pants?
Not naked, reassured the consultant, in whose voice a smile could be heard. You can leave your pants, but this is optional. You'll have the diapers. Secondly, in each of these bags you'll find there is a cloak, a good quality garment, perfect for masking nakedness. Please try them on. Removing the last of my clothing, I tried to keep a calm expression on my face with all my might. I desperately wanted to fall into the grass, flail around in it with wild laughter, and then straighten up and send it all to hell, this strange comedy, and proudly retire to my own business. But I was silent and obediently undressed. It was too late to back out. I had put myself into the position of leading this crazy business,
and I infected everyone with the appetite. They would not understand, or they would send me straight to hell, and it would be well deserved. So I took off everything except the diaper and bent down to the bag at my feet. The consultant hadn't lied. Inside was a long-skirted cloak of a black material with a row of big buttons and a high collar. Chuckling, I pulled the robe on and could not hold back a muffled laugh. The cloak hid me almost completely. Only my head remained uncovered. "Just lovely," nodded the consultant. "Understated, yet stylish, right?" "Complete crap." The massive bum didn't agree, tugging on the same exact outfit. "As though we've escaped from a psychiatric ward." "There are good people there, too," the consultant shrugged, and turned to the naked gnome, Cray. "Sir, what are you doing?" We all simultaneously turned our heads to Cray. Then I immediately turned away to hide a smile spreading across my face. Cray was covering up Kalin, who was changing, and was not very good for the purpose due to his height. And why, anyway, we aren't in the real world, we're in Valdira.
"Do you not see?" muttered the dwarf.
"Hmph," spoke the consultant. "I see, but I do not understand. Well, I'll leave you to it." "Cray, maybe enough with playing the fool?" Kalin hissed angrily, tugging on her coat. "It's not really me. Well, me, of course, but not real. Damn, now I'm confused. Anyway, enough with this nonsense, and get into your cloak."
"You might as well also," chuckling, Bomb began, but I interrupted him sharply.
"Bomb!" After waiting for the half-orc to look at me, I said, "Don't. They'll figure it out themselves." Oh, I got a small glance of approval from Cray. If not good, at least not hostile. Progress. "Already sorted," said the woman cheerfully, and turning herself around. "New outfit. For a robber. Cool. Cray, take a picture. A few times." "All dressed? Great," encouraged the consultant. "Now, check inside your pockets. Those in your coats." Looking in my pockets, I fished out a thin chain of strange dark metal and a mask. Generally fun stuff. "This," confirmed the mysterious player, "is the final element. Now, put everything back, and listen to me carefully. The hat and the chain you will put on only at the last moment. The magic will work, and you will have exactly half an hour of pure anonymity. At this time, your gaming nickname will disappear, your level, and any other information. But half an hour. Orbit, be a good lad, put everything back into your pocket."
"You're interesting," said the bald elf, putting his hat back into the coat pocket.
"The magic is one time only," continued the consultant. "If you take off the mask, cloak, or chain ahead of time, the anonymity disappears and doesn't reappear. Developed by some clever guys for one-time usage only. I'm saying this so that you know. Don't take off your disguise ahead of time. Clothe before landing, take off after departure. So we have about 20 minutes for everything, at best 25, I said briskly, entering the role. "Absolutely," nodded the consultant. "To break into the top level and grab everything in sight, I think this is enough."
5 minutes is more than enough," boomed Baum. "I'll even pack the carpets.
Oh, damn, the bag! Where will we put our loot? An ass without a bag is useless. Shoulder bags are needed." "And you have them," said the consultant. To our feet fell shoulder bags of black material. "Not the best possible, but for your level their capacity is more than enough," said the mysterious attacker. "Whatever," Baum muttered, glancing contemptuously at the kit. "Complete garbage, if you ask me." "Standard equipment from the company." Mr. Incognito threw up his hands. "It is what it is. It's for free, anyway. And now, dear Roskard, if I'm not mistaken, you're the leader of this company of thieves and robbers?"
"Yeah, he himself," confirmed Doc.
Something like that, I shrugged. Why?
Let's talk about the retreat, the attacker said, silently approaching me. And we'll talk in detail. We don't have much time. A hard life it is for a professional consultant. Do you think, Rosgard, I can just spit on all of these operations of cloak and dagger and become a farmer? They have potatoes, radishes, and watermelons and persimmons right in the garden beds. Well, listen carefully.
Something crashed, the sound hollow and lingering. From the gates of the estate came a thick column of bright purple smoke, and a moment later we heard the yells of the guards.
Three!
Happily yelled the consultant, standing on the top of a hill and looking into a brass spyglass. The saboteurs have said their first word. Tutti duty be ready. Always ready, said the half-orc local, swinging the blade of his cutlass wide. The name Tutti Duty did not fit this bloke perfectly.
But I am actually not quite that ready, admitted the doctor, wrapped in a black cloak, anxiously glancing down. Are you all sure that this is going to end well?
Cool, squeaked Kaelin. This is a real adventure. We're ready to launch. Doc, do you need a bag?
I'm not sick, growled the doctor. I'm scared. A little, but...
I told you, mumbled Cray.
Hello, Sky, dreamily mused Orbit.
But my bag is small, Bomb bitterly complained.
Too late to back out now. I sighed again, glad that I had left Tyrant in the private room. Another boom. This time the column of smoke was a vivid orange, the screams of the guards, a terrible laughter.
Two. They're overdoing the theatrics, muttered the consultant, dissatisfied. But how they run, oh, how they run! Not guards, but a marathon squad. Just a lovely sight, and more of them perfect.
We kept silent for a time, preparing ourselves for the inevitable, and looking at the world through the bars of a cage. I personally felt like a guinea pig. I don't know about the others, but Baum was grunting too, perhaps also thinking himself a pig. There was a roar so deafening that it seemed as if a nuclear bomb had gone off. Between the purple and the orange fumes appeared a third pillar, an intolerable crimson. Who chose these colors?
One, the consultant shouted, raising his left arm high. Tutti duty, come on, darling. Well, break a leg, comrades. We're going in.
To hell with it, we cried out in unison. And then the half-orc Tutti Duty slashed the tension rope with a single movement. Our cry turned into a prolonged wail, and the cell, woven from flexible, springy branches, rushed to our goal with a long whistle, to the roof of the central and tallest building in the estate. Yes, that was exactly how the consultant decided to solve the problem of delivering our group to the estate. By shooting us from a medieval projectile gun.
What the hell did I start this for? Flashed through my mind as I watched the sweeping landscape below us and heard the vociferous cry of my fellow sufferers.
We flew with a whistle, literally, and below us came the staccato crackle of a machine gun like a series of firecrackers, all in order to conceal our flight. But my companions shouted so loudly that the whole disguise went down the drain.
Quiet! I snapped, my eyes full of expression.
It worked. All fell silent at once, and in the next second we landed. The cage crashed onto the edge of the roof and tumbled, accompanied by the sound of breaking branches. Sky, roof, sky, roof, sky, roof.
Oh,
moaned Cray, curled in a fetal position.
Mo.
Stay down, I began, and in this moment the construction crashed into a wall and collapsed, burying us in its ruins.
Oh!
This time Doc groaned, lying on his back and frantically looking at the sky, his leg kicking convulsively. The rest lay motionless and silent.
coming to their senses after such unusual sensations. "What are you laying around for?" I grunted, pushing aside the wreckage of branches. "Let's move, and don't make noise."
"How about another go?"
proposed the bald elf, looking at me with hope.
"Interesting."
Baum hiccuped and shook his head, croaking,
"That's it. No more flying donkeys."
"Get up," I hissed again. "Have you arrived on your vacations? This is not Tahiti."
"You wait a second."
The ass was outraged.
"Tahiti, Tahiti. Oh.
You no longer want to steal and plunder?" I was surprised, and Baum was immediately on his feet.
"I do. I very much do, Chief. Let's go get 'em."
"Doc, heal us," I said, waving away the eagerly dancing half-orc. "Our landing took away some life."
"If you land like this, then what is it like to fall?" asked Cray, helping up the girl.
From the palm of Doc shone a white, pearly light, and he began to heal the party members, and I continued to command. "Bomb, get away from the door. Your green face isn't covered."
"Don't be racist now, and—"
"Put the hat on," I hissed, "and tighten the chain at the neck. That goes for all of you. Orbit, don't make a hole in the cap for your ears. She can get dressed herself. Kaelin, dress up fully, up to the chin, not the middle of your forehead."
"But in films, the beautiful heroines—"
"We're not in a film. Doc, all healthy?"
"Healthy and vigorous, boss."
The healer stood at attention.
"Ready to plunder."
"Timer?" I turned to Baum, and he nodded.
"Set and decreasing 25 minutes for us."
"Doc?"
"Same here,"
confirmed the doctor.
"Set and ready."
"Good." Already not looking at the half-orc, I nodded, clutching the thickest branches at the bottom of the cell so that it wouldn't fall apart. "Help! Cray! Bomb!" Together, we reconstructed the remains of the bottom of the cell, and then I pulled out a few boxes of dark wood from my backpack and opened the smallest. I opened it, and was met by a little creature with one eye. Only one tremendous eye for a body which was an extended spindly, ending in a whisk of long tentacles. Most of all, the creature reminded me of a jellyfish. Not pulling it out of the box, I lowered the monster to the bottom of the basket. I opened the other boxes and began to retrieve the contents. On the monster poured a rain of gray powder with red patches, and then I emptied 3 bottles of colored fluids onto it. Seeing that this was to the liking of the strange creature, I exhaled with relief, watching it gurgle happily and absorb the muddy slush. I had done everything the consultant had told me to do, repeating the whole procedure to me 2x.
"Now, let's go,"
I ordered, barely audible, nodding towards the small door on the roof of the main building.
"Can I, can I?"
immediately reacted Kaelin, pleading.
"Can I please?"
I could only recognize her by her voice. The disguise had worked. Not one of the members of our gang had a nickname. But this set, after all, was made not primarily for thieves, but for agar players.
"Do it,"
I waved a hand. Jumping gladly, the girl resolutely walked to the door and took the intricate wrought-iron handle and pulled, then pushed. The door did not open, but this only made Kaelin happier. Quickly she took from her pocket a small square of black and red paper. She glued it just below the handle and drew a simple rune, and then stepped back, watching a red glow pour around the handle. A quiet hissing, and the piece of paper flashed and evaporated, leaving behind a square-shaped hole in the door. Kaelin put her hand into the hole and, grunting happily, found what she was looking for. A barely audible turn, and she pulled the door back towards herself, and it obediently opened.
"Prose,"
she proudly poked her finger into her chest.
"Uh-huh,"
I replied. The dwarf was more verbose.
Great! The burglar of the century! I filmed the whole thing!
The others nodded, all except Bomb and Orbit. The ass was already at the door. As soon as he was in, he took a simple vase and put it in his bag with a short laugh and a dull roar.
Well then, let's get to it!
And Orbit, where was that bloody bald elf? Looking from side to side, I noticed the elf standing at the edge of the roof, looking fascinated at the towering gates of the estate and multicolored columns of smoke.
Orbit!
Huh? Come here, I hissed furiously, turning cold at the thought that one of the guards running frantically around at the bottom would happen to look up and see a black, unnamed figure casually standing at the roof.
But there, the elf said, stepping up to me. There, it's so...
And there it's even more interesting, I encouraged him, pointing to the open door into which the last of our gang had already disappeared. Come on!
Yeah,
he nodded in melancholy and followed me. Inside was a small room, apparently for the comfort of workers or ascetic aristocrats. Several paintings with natural scenery, a bed, a couple of tables, rugs on the wall and floor, and all this disappeared with a wild speed into the backpack of Bomb, while others watched, dumbfounded by his actions.
And what about you guys? I asked. Not in a robbing mood?
Well, he manages without us, chuckled Cray.
I am stealing too,
confessed Doc with a conspiratorial whisper, clutching a book.
A romance novel.
Follow me, I said, taking on the role of the leader of a gang of thieves and going to the door at the opposite wall. The door, thankfully, was unlocked, to the chagrin of Kalin. Those magic papers we had received from the same mysterious consultant, a huge ballista equipment, the get-up and the creature with tentacles, all of it was gratuitous, because Orbit wanted it. Either the bald elf with torn ears is a secret prince, or I am missing something, and I do not like that one bit. Behind the door was a staircase leading down, covered with a luxurious carpet. It was nailed to the floor, and this upset Bomb. He wanted to tear it off the track, but I feared it would make too much noise, and shook my head. And then we went down to the bottom of the stairs and ended up in the hallway. And we sharply forgot about the luxury carpet, because our eyes were dazzled. Wealth, with a capital letter. A wide corridor was like a museum hall, paintings everywhere, tapestries, elegant tables, chandeliers, porcelain vases, wall lamps in the shape of flower buds, transparent crystals. And that was just the hallway. On either side of the corridor were plenty of open doors, behind which a spacious room was crammed with even more expensive things. A thieves' paradise.
We don't have much time, I managed to choke out, removing a painting of a damsel in translucent robes from the wall, with shaking hands. Everyone was so stunned that no one answered. It was necessary to turn up the volume, and I said it in plain text, "Rob, we only have 20 minutes, go!" They all stirred and ran off in different directions.
Putting the painting away into my bag, I began to gather several crystal trinkets placed on a narrow table, watching the dark proceedings out of the corner of my eye. It was surely something. Each acted in accordance to their nature. The ass Bomb was like a bulldozer, a massive solid truck taking down everything in his path. The half-orc moved slowly, but afterwards there was nothing to be picked up. Doc threw himself headlong into a room in which I could see were several bookcases crammed full of thick tomes. Orbit, the bald elf, stood at the empty, pristine, and polished table, pulled something out of his pockets, and spread it on the counter. Stepping closer, I realized that the elf had pulled out his pebbles and acorns, spreading them on the counter.
"What are you doing?"
"Presents." "To hell with gifts. We came not to give, but to take,"
I rasped. Go with Doc and help him rob the books.
Cray, help me reach the chandelier.
Huh? I said, together with the gnome, looking at the woman, who was looking at the high ceiling in one of the rooms nearby, the same one in which Doc was busy among the books. What do you want to get? I found myself speechless again.
The chandelier. Well, chandelier, the lamp. Don't you see it?
Kaelin said in indignation, pointing upwards. Looking up, I was speechless again. On the ceiling swayed a tremendous gilded chandelier, studded with burning candles, like the things in the movies about the Middle Ages. And that was that very same chandelier she wanted to get?
We can't carry that out. The gnome was outraged. What do you want it for?
The private room, the girl said, hurt. It would look superb.
We can't carry it, I said hastily. Take something smaller. There are enough lamps here. Doc, time.
13 minutes, said the doctor, frantically scanning books. Oh, Lysana the Luxurious and the 17 Knights of Granulaine. Interesting.
Eh, I grimaced. Throw it out.
I'll take it.
Kaelin immediately intervened, snatching the book in a red velvet color.
Cool, with illustrations. Ooh, oh, ho, ho, is that really possible?
Focus on the robbery, I focused my voice. Bomb, don't go far. Orbit, why are you trying to pull a frame of glass out of the frame?
I'm robbing.
Rob something else. Kaelin, to hell with your chandelier and Lysana. Grab the golden candlesticks, damn lovers.
And you yourself, where's your loot? You only stole that picture with the naked woman, retorted Cray.
Because of you guys, it's hard to focus, I snapped, grabbing a stack of books on the table and stuffing them into my bag. Hurry!
My bag is full,
briefly reported Baum, placing his swollen backpack on the floor. Cray, grab mine and give me yours. Others won't be able to lift it. They are the intellectuals.
You are just superb,
praised the half-orc in a trembling voice. Respect filled to overflowing.
Doc, time?
9 minutes.
Oh.
A quiet and confused woman's voice rang out behind us, and we were paralyzed. We were caught, red-handed, taken in the act. Moving my head around with difficulty, I looked back and saw a girl standing in the doorway. A slender figure in an expensive dress, rich gold ornaments, an elaborate hairstyle, and a thin book in her well-manicured hands. She wasn't a servant, for sure.
"Who are you and what are you doing here?"
said the stranger with more certainty, raising her head proudly.
"We're from the service,"
forced out Doc, hiding behind a book.
"Service, which is very... Boss, which service are we from?"
"Ah," I said, trying to think of anything at all.
"The Hermitage," blurted Baum. "Hermitage service, the best. We specialize in cleaning, all different things. Cleaning carpets, polishing gold."
"Enough nonsense," I snapped. Grab her. Roll her in a rug.
Me? In a carpet? You wouldn't dare. I am Aliella. Aliella Cedric.
The girl lifted her nose, recoiling. And the knight of my heart will not allow you such treachery.
Fuck. It seems we've run into the daughter of Mr. Cedric. Can we kidnap her and demand a ransom? A ransom being part of the silver legend?
Knight? Baum was interested.
And whom do you mean?
You'll soon find out. The girl abruptly turned one of the rings on her finger, and around her seethed a glowing ball. As the half-orc approached her, he was thrown back as though he were shocked. Baum crashed into a bookcase, which, with a deafening roar, instantly fell on top of him. There was a muffled growl, and Baum threw a book to the side, climbing out of the pile. We gotta go, I said shortly, pointing to a second door leading into a corridor. We were lucky.
You can't go,
arrogantly said Aliela Cedric, removing one more ring from her finger and putting it in her palm.
"I now call upon my heart's knight, and he will punish you for such insolence."
"Now, now, now," I continued, hurrying to the door. "After me now."
"Too late," triumphantly exclaimed the girl. "The ring is alight. That means my knight is on his way. I only have to say the word. Be afraid."
"We are already afraid," Doc assured her, breathing hard.
Even without looking at us, she brought the ring to her lips and cried her appeal with a sonorous voice. Hearing it, I stumbled and fell noisily to the floor.
"Accountant, my dear accountant," happily said Aliela Cedric. "Accountant, my dear accountant, will there be happiness if there is peace in my heart, accountant, my dear accountant?"
The air in front of the girl glowed brightly, and from the glowing haze came a thick, crooning voice.
"And here I am, a simple accountant, your darling accountant."
Another second, and a hefty man fell out of the haze, dressed in tiny red panties and a matching tie. There was nothing more on the man aside from the very long hair ears wiggling vigorously over his head. The man loves thongs with sparkles.
"Darling, you called me," joyfully shouted the man. "You want to again do your thing with your favorite scarlet hair? And I'll oink oink, and you bite bite." "What the fuck?" I choked aloud.
"This is your heart's knight?" squeaked Kaelin. "Cute!"
"What the—"
The man spun around, and we were able to witness a brief label located on the front of his underwear. The inscription read, "Gookie Gookie." But even more interesting were the green letters hovering over the head of the guy, which gave me a slight shock. Scarlet Crusade, 290th level, and a sign explaining that in front of us was none other than the head of the clan of the Scarlet Cross.
"Gookie Gookie?" thoughtfully read Orbit. "And not Wookie Tux?"
"Who are you?" roared the head of the Scarlet Cross clan, throwing his hands in the air.
A moment, and his frivolous clothes disappeared, replaced by full armor peppered with glowing runes and signs, solid spikes, metal, and a huge deadly aura, romance replaced by BDSM.
"Oh, my red hair, they invaded our house,"
readily Aliela informed her knight.
"Punish them, dear. Give them a boo-boo."
The knight, clad in metal armor, stepped forward, raised his sword over his head with a huge icy blue blade, and abruptly stopped when Kaelin said fearlessly,
"Do it then, red hair. I still had time to write everything down."
"And I instantly said.
"And I,"
echoed Doc. "And I," boomed Bom.
"We all," Cray nodded.
"And I didn't.
Drawled the bald elf. "Orbit," I hissed violently, but very quietly.
"And I,"
corrected the elf.
"Twice."
"Recorded?" The crimson knight swayed, and the terrible sword sank helplessly.
"That which just happened?"
"Well,
all of it," Kaelin said ruthlessly. "And about the cute accountant, and the ears on your head, and the thong, and about Gookie Gookie. Oh, you. And a clan leader. And such perversion."
The visor of the helmet opened by itself and revealed to us the glassy eyes of the Scarlet Crusader. The huge figure of the monster, capable of wiping us on the luxury carpet in a few seconds, stopped helplessly in the center of the room. So that's how it goes. The man is clearly not one of those who, even in a game, likes to advertise their inclinations towards frivolous cosplay.
"Listen here,"
the Crusader hardly moved his lips. "Doc," I interrupted sharply, turning to the member of my roguish group. To speak the word doc, I wasn't afraid. How many doctors running around in the huge expanses of Valdira? Countless, and all are called doc.
"Eh?"
said our regular chiropractor. "Time?"
5 minutes with a tail, he reported.
Shall we talk? I said, getting up, this time looking at the head of the Scarlet Cross clan. I wasn't afraid of him any longer. Why be afraid of the bear if his muzzle is tightly chained? The steel monster looked silently at our gallant band of thieves,